Dangerously
sports.
Nice.
It's a great package.
It. Yep. Now I wish we'd done more of these so that we could just do that more.
I know. Well,
we'll just start pasting it into random everything. Just random audio files thrown up on the site.
You ready for it?
I'm ready.
I like it a lot. So, week 13 is officially in the books for the NFL season.
Yes.
Which is fortuitous for one very important reason for guys like us sitting here looking at stats and standings and trying to figure things out, is that everyone has bye'd.
Yes.
So, everybody is officially at 12 games. We're officially at 3/4 of the way into the season. And standings, unless you're some of the teams that tied, makes sense to try to look at numbers.
Yeah, it makes a bit more sense than they would have really any time last, what, like 7 weeks? Okay, who are the teams that tied again? We've got Cincinnati, and who did they tie with?
They tied with Washington.
Washington, that's right.
At our home game in London.
Oh.
So dumb.
Yep.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, I understand the way scheduling works, right?
Right.
They have this big model, and they break it down, and all these games are already lined up for the next several years.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it just seems cruel to be like, hey, random team A.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put your game in London next year. So your fans are only going to have 7 actual home games this year.
Right.
Like, why don't they just make both of those be road, like, slots?
Yeah.
Like, always make it be those teams, like, that are in the same conference that are those two, like, place games.
Right.
That don't really fit into your normal scheduling model that are the extra games on your schedule anyways.
Uh-huh. That makes sense.
And then they could both be road games, and then you're not screwing fans out of a home game ticket that they had to pay for, I might add.
Yeah, yeah.
Oi, your game's in London, eh?
Well, the NFL is known for its great decision-making.
Speaking of which, did you see the whole thing about the cleats? And
that was exactly where I was going to go next.
Oh, man.
What? It was the Browns and Titans, right?
The Browns and Titans.
They were on their bye for week 12, week 13. Week 13?
Yeah. 13.
And that was the, was it My Calls, My Cleats?
My Calls, My Cleats.
Okay. Yeah. And so basically NFL players were allowed to have artwork done on their cleats so that they could auction them off afterwards and donate.
Sell them for a good cause.
Yeah, donate to charity.
Yeah.
Two teams were on byes, though, the Browns and the Titans, and they said, hey, so is it cool if we just do that next week then, since we didn't have games? And the NFL said, no!
Like, that was in week 13 only. I don't know which official front office person that was, but
well, it could be any of them. Probably, yeah. Roger Goodell himself. And then, like, after Twitter,
you get one.
Yeah, exactly. Then Twitter blows up with the obvious, like, ridiculousness of it. You know,
right.
How could you? I'm still just in my head thinking, like, how, after all the stupidity that they've put themselves through, like all the self-inflicted stupidity,
yeah,
how could they get there's, I mean, this one's a softball. This is the
right.
Easiest one,
right? Honestly, like, the PR guy for the NFL, like, I think I would rather be the president of the United States with,
yeah,
that stress.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe that crazy CEO guy of the pharmaceutical company is the only guy that would have a harder PR sell
right
than the NFL.
But NFL's, I think they're just giving him a run for his money. They're
right,
like, let's,
right.
Was it Martin Shkreli or something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, let's be the Martin Shkreli of professional sports.
No, they would say professional football, even though they're the one league. They'd
right.
Be like, let's be the Martin Shkreli of professional football. Like, really?
Like, you're the everything of professional football.
Right.
Jackasses.
Oh, it's like them saying, all right, we're going to allow all teams to wear some official colors, but only on Super Bowl week.
Yeah.
Like, wait, what? So what, am I allowed to wear it while I'm working on a public because my team didn't even make the playoffs?
Yeah. Yeah, no dress code for the day.
Can you imagine the two teams coming out in, like, t-shirts or something?
Right. Oh, well, there was also
well, and this is a completely horrible thought. I just get out of there because it's stupid and instantly banished from my head. What if we had a Super Bowl played between two teams that wore their pre-made Super Bowl champion shirts.
That would be awesome.
Because, you know, they make them for both teams and all yeah, events.
Exactly.
And then they send, like, the losers off to, like, third world countries or
right,
whatever.
Right. They should have to burn them in yeah, the locker room afterwards if they lose.
Yeah.
They should be forced. They should be required. Or, even better, the winning team should get to burn the other team's shirts.
Or, like, they hang them up and then, like, players come by and they cut pieces off like they do the net and yeah, the basketball.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Now, you're going to have actual serious topic, I think.
Oh, no, it was just another example of the NFL being the NFL.
Yeah.
But I guess this was, I don't know if this was team-induced. I think it was actually a Panthers decision. Cam Newton showed up to the game this past week without a necktie.
Yeah.
So they set him out for the first drive. Like for a
which ended up being one play, I think.
Right, which wound up being one play because Derek Anderson threw an interception. Of course.
I mean, you were expecting...
Yeah. No, well, the thing that was
like
surprising...
Like, we were expecting a slam dunk. Like, that's not the right Derek Anderson.
Yeah, exactly. Wrong Derek Anderson.
You're several knee surgeries ago.
Yeah.
No good.
The surprising thing was that the interception wasn't his fault.
That's true.
It actually... The running back bobbled the ball and... That's the easiest. That should have been a pick six.
Yeah.
But, you know. But in any case.
Yeah, that one was team induced, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a coach rule or something. He asked him to show up, but.
He was dressed up still. Like,
that's what they said. Like, if you look at him, and there was nothing wrong.
No.
With his appearance.
Like, he probably was dressed up more than half the players who had yeah, a necktie. Like, it's such an odd.
It's a stupid circumstance to draw attention to. You know, and part of it, I'm sure, is our 24-hour media coverage that we have these days, making a story
exactly,
out of something. But still, like, why?
Yeah.
It's not like he's improperly dressed or poorly dressed or...
Right.
I mean, I get that there are team rules, and you want guys to follow team rules. And I also understand the concept that sometimes you ping a guy because you want people to understand that everybody is subject to the rules.
Yeah.
But it just seems like your whole season has just fallen apart.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's been an absolute atrocity coming from being the best record in the league last year, making the Super Bowl. Not doing so hot in the Super Bowl, but making the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they've got
and
there.
Now it's like...
I mean, they're not doing so great now. They're last in their division. They are last... in what last year was the worst division in football, minus them, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
I
don't know.
What, yeah,
it's
who
just
knows?
It's a head scratcher. So again, I get that there's rules, and I get that sometimes you want to make a point to prove to your younger guys, or because let's face it, you think you would make the assumption that his job is probably safe.
Yeah.
Now, if they lose out and they finish 4-12, maybe it's a different story. Like, I don't think that they'll lose out. I mean,
yeah, I don't think so either.
Maybe they'll end up. I don't know.
I think they've lost a lot of the games that last year. A lot of the close games that last year they won. A lot of the ones that could go either way this year, they're all going the other way.
It's funny because that seems like that happens a lot with teams.
Yep.
And then sometimes it's just bad luck.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's literally just, sometimes you see teams get big heads and, oh, we were dominant last year, so we expect to roll this year, and they don't, and that happens.
Yeah.
But I think that's funny is because there were so many games last year where it just looked like they were beat. And the defense will make a play, and then Cam Newton would carry them on his back across the line.
Right.
And I think it's a prime example of how we've talked about throughout his career. It's usually been game to game. This seems more like a last year to this year, but
mm-hmm,
just that down mentality he'll get.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like he just kind of looks defeated.
Right.
So.
He kind of gets Jay Cutler face going.
Yeah.
But Jay Cutler face. Jay Cutler always has Jay Cutler face.
Why they call it Jay Cutler face.
he catches the Cutleritis.
Well, in his defense, he does have a Jay Cutler face.
I mean,
like, did you just make a Jay Cutler face to back up your Jay Cutler face joke?
Yep.
Yeah, we're classy here.
Circular logic.
Circle of life. No, it's getting out of control. So let's talk about the divisions.
Sounds good.
All right.
Where do you want to start? AFC, NFC?
Let's flip it up and do NFC this time. Sounds just for good. The heck of it. We're going to just break all the alphabetical rules. Laws. I said Rawls.
We'll break those two.
Rawls. So let's start with the West because Thomas because Rawls Thomas plays Rawls. For
Holy
Seattle.
Cow. And this last week he went nuts for me.
Yeah.
I had him pick him up on the waiver wire and he scored, was it two or three touchdowns? No, I can't remember. But he also went out into the concussion protocol, so there's that.
Yeah, I mean, the good and the bad.
Yep.
Some give and some take.
It sounded like they were expecting him to be back this week, though. I don't think he's going to really miss any time. We'll see. But Seattle, in spite of like just getting him back 2 weeks ago, they're doing just fine.
It's funny because you know there were a lot of comments to Pete Carroll about his team's offense a couple of weeks ago. And then the last couple of games, particularly this week.
Yeah.
It's been like, what offensive problems?
Well, really, I thought the game was it, what'd they lose, 9-6 or something like that? No, it's escaping me. But the game where all, well, yeah, it was to the Rams. They lost 9-6. That game was more the aberration. That was the exception because the week before that, their offense beat New England.
Yeah. That was like, what, 31-28 or something like that?
Yeah. It was a pretty high-scoring game.
It's a good scoring game.
Yeah.
I mean, in the NFL, you're not supposed to put up 30 points on teams. Plain and simple.
Exactly. So. And they were playing the Patriots, who, at least up until that point, were the third in the league in points allowed. I don't know what they are right now, but in any case, that's what they were at that point. And Seattle put up 30 on them, 31 on them, whatever.
I'll say this. I felt like coming into the season, it just sort of seemed like they were kind of due to have a bad year. And it feels like their year kind of started and like, well, maybe they're not going to be so hot. And, you know, here they are. Clearly front running this division because nobody else wants it. I'll say that. I think that, and we'll kind of get into a conversation about disappointing teams later, but I mean, Arizona's definitely not making that Super Bowl pick look so good from the beginning.
No, they're not. They, what do you say? They just,
well, you know, I think that that's another one of those things that happens is that if you're in Arizona, you can't bank on having a full season out of Carson Palmer.
No.
And he hasn't missed much. It's only been a couple of games.
Right.
But
yeah, it only has been.
But at the same time, the defense hasn't been the same. They've scored in bunches sometimes, but not all the time. I think that a couple of their receivers just really have not dominated the way that they did last year. I feel like the last two or three seasons, it's been sort of that we're going to get saved in the end by Larry Fitzgerald.
Right.
Even though we've kind of almost done the Jerry Rice with Terrell Owens in San Francisco thing and tried to say he's not our number one guy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I've just completely lost his name for Mike Floyd.
Yeah.
Like Floyd and Brown both had ridiculous years last year.
Yes, they did.
And Floyd in particular has really been quiet this season.
Yeah. I mean, really. I think, is Fitzgerald leading them? Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
He's leading them in receptions. Holy cow. Did you know he has 88 receptions this year?
He has 88 already?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's insane. I had no idea.
Are you looking at the team stats or are you looking at the league stats?
I'm looking at the 2016 receiving stats right now.
I'm willing to bet you that like the next receiver is probably somewhere in the 40s.
No. There's a bunch of actually he's tied.
No, I mean from Arizona.
Oh yeah. No, you're probably right on that.
Because it just feels like they've had such down years.
The next receiver is not a receiver. It's David Johnson.
Wow.
With 64. So, I mean, that's actually really good.
I mean, that's a great number out of the backfield.
And there's no one else, let's see, on this page that it ends with, goes down to 30. And so there's nobody else in the top 30 in the league. and that goes down to 58 receptions. So, yeah, it's probably going to be closer to...
I would say it's somewhere in that 40-45 kind of range.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those cases where, like, when you have a back that's got a lot of catch out of the backfield, that tends to be a sign that you're doing a lot more screens to get out of pressure.
Right.
And David Johnson, I mean, kudos to him for having a good year so far.
Yeah. Oh, he's having one of those massive year.
That, yeah, I mean, it was funny because I think I was up against Darren maybe in fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Like 3 weeks ago, and I was looking and I was projected to lose, and I was like, oh, well, who have I got? And then, like, they had David Johnson projected for like 31 points, and I was like, okay, that's a little much, don't you think?
Yeah,
he ended up with like 24 or something like that. Yeah, but still,
so
but like, I think that's just the sign, is that their defense, there's a lot of teams in the NFL that their defenses are built for leads,
you know.
That was always the big thing with the Colts when Peyton Manning was there running that offense, and they were scoring 40 points a game, is that they would get up two or three touchdowns and then just unleash the pass rushers on the
right.
other team.
Yeah.
I feel like it's not that Arizona had any elite pass rushers. It doesn't feel like that they had a one guy or two guys, but as a team, they were great when they had those leads.
They were. Well, they brought in an elite pass rusher. They brought in Chandler Jones.
And they brought him in and
nothing.
Just
nothing.
Just nada. You know, well, like,
I mean, what is happening? Like, the I bet.
I think part of it is that they're getting gashed in the running game a lot.
That they are,
and they're allowing teams to play more of the less tempo games.
Uh-huh.
Whereas, I mean, when they were playing a lot of tempo last year and blowing teams out, it's just the nature. You see so many more crazy stats out of their receivers because they're just going down the field the whole game. And then this year, yeah, they're settled into more of a running attack, but when that happens is that the defense isn't feasting on quarterbacks like they did last year because they're not rushing with the lead.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, you see teams all the time, like, you want to be able to run the ball in the NFL. Like, that's supposed to be a staple of success. If you can successfully run the ball in the NFL,
then
you at least have the ability to control clock.
Yes. And yes, indeed.
That was not Arizona's MO last year. Their MO was more of go down the field and score a lot of points. And it seems like with not having that, they've not been good.
Yeah. And, well, you know what? We were just talking about their pass rushers not getting after it. They're actually fourth in the league in sacks. So maybe we misread that. They got 31 sacks on the year.
That'll happen.
Yeah. But still, they're just not. It's just not clicking for them this year. Now, it's not like they're out of it. They're 5-6-1.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think not only are they not out of the division technically yet.
Right.
It is obviously close because, I mean, if Seattle gets two more wins, then it's done. But,
yeah.
There's not really anyone that's really taken over the wild card yet.
Nope. They're at worst two games out?
Yeah, I mean, they're hurting behind New York
right
now.
They need some help. They need some help.
They could still potentially make a run.
Yeah.
And the thing that's always the craziest equalizer is that stupid tie. As much as you hate to see ties in the NFL, if you're a team that has a tie, that tie has the potential to either doom you or to save you.
Yeah.
Because it's like a prime example right now, just in this NFC, for example, is... the number two seed. We'll get to that more later, obviously.
Right.
But because Seattle has a tie with mm-hmm. Arizona.
Yeah.
Their percentage points higher for the number two seed
than
the NFL. You know what I mean? It's like, it's one of those stupid little things. It's like, if you get the same number of wins, all you have to do is track the win column.
Mm-hmm.
Then suddenly you've got this other half a win from a tie.
Exactly.
And it's a stupid little thing that sometimes it can save your season.
Yeah, it's worse than a loss, better than a win. Or worse, wait, backwards. Better than a loss, worse than a win.
Yeah. What you said the second time.
Yes. I was like, wait a minute, that can't be the case.
So the next team up on the docket is the Rams.
The L'Rams?
The L'Rams. Why did Jeff Fisher get a contract extension?
You know what? We were talking about giving report cards on these teams. with that move, I give them a lower grade than the San Francisco 49ers, who are 1-11.
I agree. I can't help but agree.
I give them a solid F on the season. Yeah. If they had fired him at the end of this season, I would have said C. Because right now they're 4-8. That's about what you'd expect. I mean, I thought maybe they'd be closer to 500, but I...
Yeah.
No part of me is surprised that they're 4-8.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, it seems like last year they won two or three of those really close end of the game games.
Yep.
I mean, they had one where they beat Arizona on a field goal at the end. Like, you know, and Arizona was really good last year, even though we're just talking about how they're great pass rushing, apparently.
Yeah.
But
anyway,
like, they're not getting those bounces this year. And you think they would be better? But, I mean, again, like, the funny thing is, like, you have the two quarterbacks that go at the top of the draft, and Philadelphia just said, we're going wins. And they're petering off, but they started strong.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I know the
golf... And there's no reason, at this point at least, to believe that they messed up with that pick.
Right. Right. And so...
Flip two.
And so with Goff, it's like... I know these had injuries, and so they didn't... Obviously, they couldn't put him in at the beginning.
Right.
But he's been relatively ready to go for a long time, and then he just got his first start this past week.
Yeah.
And what, they're running out against the Patriots?
Yeah.
I mean...
Because...
That's a confidence builder.
Why not?
It's like,
why not go ruin
it's
his
like,
day?
You know what? Let's give Jeff Fisher a contract extension and let's start our rookie quarterback against the Patriots. I mean, talk about organizational decisions.
Everyone in St. Louis is laughing so hard right now.
And buying, like, St. Louis Cardinals season tickets.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to watch them from the dome.
I saw on Reddit, it was Saturday night or Sunday morning, where I saw that Jeff Fisher, that they had given him a contract extension earlier in the season, actually, is when it happened. No one knows when it happened, somehow. Like, they just know that it 2 more years, Jeff Fisher, for reasons unknown.
What?
And I
Why?
Saw different fans on there, like Rams fans and everyone else, who's saying, like, never have I ever wanted the Patriots to win a game, but this Sunday I do.
Yeah.
Because apparently LA Rams stupidity trumps Patriots hate. So there's that.
And I learned something this week. It's just one of those deals where, like, going back to Tennessee, for some reason, he was really good for that organization.
Yeah.
Like, moving them into Nashville, like, trying to figure out what they're going to do with themselves, becoming the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole Eddie George and Steve McNair combo.
Yep.
They
had it going.
Man, and then, you know, you get the 1 yard short on the Super Bowl.
And it really started tapering off, didn't
it? But from there, it just seems like...
He's been eternally 7-9 since
then. Yeah, like, his MO is winning season? I would rather not.
Yeah. But why?
Yeah.
Why? When? Why?
And I get from, you know, what I've heard is he's such a player's coach and the players love him. But, like...
So?
I mean, you hate to say this because, like, I hate to make any judgments about any of his players, past or present, but, like, losers love him?
Yeah, I mean... Like,
I'm going to get so much fan hate from that.
They have continually lost, so... It's kind
and the
of
sad
accurate.
Thing is that, you know, I kind of liked the Titans, and I don't hate the Rams. I think it's really because,
no.
Like, I've still got this small, like, love-hate thing for the 49ers because of the glory days.
Yeah.
And I really don't like Seattle.
Nah, I don't either.
For some reason, I just don't like Seattle. So, like, the Rams being good, like, them moving back to L.A., glory season coming back, like, yeah, let them win the division. Let them pick up where they came up from last year.
Mm-hmm.
They finished 7-9 last year, I think.
Yeah, they finished 7-9 for 30 years.
Yeah. It's like, what's Jeff Fisher's career record? 7-9. Didn't you make the Super Bowl 1 year? 7-9.
There have been years where I've thought that could happen. I'd like a 7-9 team make it to the Super Bowl because they made it into the playoffs and were just good enough to, like, maybe if they sparked themselves into a run. But anyway.
Yeah.
So
that leaves us with the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, they're terrible.
They're terrible.
They,
and you know, the funny thing is, I kind of have to go back to the inverse of a conversation that we had before about San Francisco, where you said that you were kind of following them, and then when they sort of abandoned ship and went Kaepernick, you feel like, I don't know, this is dumb.
Or abandoned Alex Smith.
Yeah.
You said Chip. I was like, what? Abandoned Chip?
Did I say Chip?
Yep.
What I was meaning was that Chip abandoned.
Yeah.
Abandoned ship.
Right.
And they went with Kaepernick. So, I feel like kind of the same thing this year.
But Harbaugh abandoned ship.
Well, it's like they...
Son of a gun.
Well, like, they were okay with Gabbert. As much as I want to be like, Gabbert? No.
I mean, he wasn't... The thing with Gabbert was he was not the worst quarterback in the NFL.
Well, let's
that's
just,
all.
Let's just put it this way. Gabbert had a win.
There you go.
And, you
and
know,
the Browns don't. So, I mean, there's that.
And neither does Kaepernick.
Nope.
So it's just one of those deals where you hate to say it, but like I really just feel like Chip Kelly doesn't know what he's doing.
That's because he doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's like I just feel like, you know, he's looking at the season going, whew. And then he looks at his assistant coach and he's like, so when do we start our first recruiting visit? And the guy's like, we don't do that, Chip.
That's
like,
that's
these
not
are your
works.
Guys unless you get rid of them and
he's
get
like,
other ones.
Oh, no.
What? He's like, get Mark Helfrich on the phone.
The
funny thing is, I don't see them firing him. I don't know why. But it just seems like... It seems like it's such an obvious fire.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I feel like they won't. I don't know why. I just feel it.
Yeah.
See, it's like, you know, they got rid of Harbaugh. You can say whatever you want about that situation, but clearly, for some reason, they didn't like each other, and they forced Harbaugh out.
Yes.
And then they, like, you know what we should do? Let's promote, like, our offensive line coach and make him the head coach for, like, one season.
Yeah.
And then fire him. Like, why did you promote him in the first place? Or was it defensive line coach? I don't even know.
And
I can't
matter.
Remember what his name was. Was it Tom Sula? Is that what his name was?
Bill McCoach.
Bill McCoach. Bill Mc not working here anymore, that's for sure. Like, they promote him over 1 year and then they just cut cord, which makes it seem like exactly what they would do with Chip, but for some reason I feel like they won't.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Who knows?
I mean, it's all that progress that we've had.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Do you want to do report cards for everyone in the division real quick?
So, for Seattle, I have to give them a solid B.
Yeah.
Now, they so far have a resume that should scream A because they've beaten New England. And they found a way to get Jimmy Graham reinvolved. Like, it seemed like that was the biggest thing.
That
it's like, really, why do you not have him just blowing up teams?
Yep.
Like, Drew Brees is like, come on, man! Why? Why? But there's just still that unknown. And I think that the injury on the defense this week doesn't help.
No.
Big time.
So, Earl Thomas is... he's done for the year, isn't he?
He's done for the year. I mean, he's talking retirement. I think that's
that's a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah. Ooh.
Oh.
Too soon. What do you think?
I give them a B+. Because I'm kind of with you. I'm not quite ready to go A with them.
Yeah.
But, man, you know.
Maybe it's because I just don't like them.
I think it might be that. I think I just don't like them, and so they get a B+. So.
I got all the answers right.
I'm sorry, Seattle fans.
B.
Then go down to Arizona, and given
the expectation,
yeah. I mean, a 5-6-1 record should say you're a C-ish range. I'm going to give them a D out of politeness.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're close to F. Like, because they should be so much better.
It's a 61 D.
Yeah. Like, they just barely made a D.
Yeah. Like, you know, good thing that we're giving you creativity points, because they have found the way to have a running game. When it seemed like last year, they tried to dance between several backs.
Right.
They ended up settling on that Johnson.
Right.
After Chris got hurt yet again.
Right.
But clearly, I mean, we had lofty expectations for this team.
Mm-hmm. Like, we did. Everybody thought they were going to be the team.
I was kind of like, please beat the Patriots. Please beat the Patriots. Now it's like, maybe make the playoffs. Maybe make the playoffs.
Right.
Now it's like, pick in the top 20. Pick in the top 20. Rams, solid F.
Yeah, solid F. They, not so much for what they're doing on the field, but what they're doing in their front office.
They're setting themselves up for future Fs.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you've got a D now, but the future doesn't look good.
No, looks terrible. It looks like they will continue to pick sixth in the NFL draft every year.
And it's sad, because it just, you know, it's funny, because you talk about a lot of teams that acquire talent. Like, mm-hmm. You either pick right and you build a talent pool and become a good team,
mm-hmm.
or you continue picking there because you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
And nothing against Jeff Fisher, but
it's not working.
Well, he apparently knows how to schmooze somebody. He's got two more years on the job.
I'll tell you what, I assume he invests in a lot of chapstick. So the 49ers, I give them an F
as
well.
It's gotta be an F.
I mean, they're just bad.
One
just so bad. Yeah. So you want to move up to the South?
Let's move up to the South. So right now we have a 2-way tie for first place, technically, between the Falcons and Buccaneers, both at 7-5.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta technically has an edge because they have played one more division game that they won. So at 3-1 in the division versus Tampa's 2-1 in the division, they have a percentage point lead, which obviously will mean nothing in a few weeks.
Right, exactly.
You're not going to have one more
game. All play the same amount, yeah. But, you know, Atlanta right now is on top, which, you know, we've got Atlanta and Tampa Bay. I said this in our preview episode, and I am surprised that I was right. Although, just in a little bit different way, I thought Carolina would be about to start pulling away right now with the division.
Yeah.
I had said I thought it was going to be closer until actually more towards the end of the year in this division, and everyone's within a couple games of each other.
Yeah.
Carolina's three games back. In a division that, like, collapse is certainly possible for every one of these teams.
That's the funny thing, is just looking at the team, particularly the team that is on top.
Yeah.
It just seems like they have collapsed
every year. Every year.
Like, that's the thing, that whether or not the defense just not going to get there. You know, former coach Mike Smith, you know, it seemed like that was his MO and that's why he got fired.
Right.
Like, Matt Ryan, do you blame it on him? But it just seems like every year something happens and they fall apart.
Something.
And it just seems like they're right there now. Like,
yeah. Like, this should be theirs. They should win their
division.
Especially
the way they started the season.
Yeah.
They looked really good at the start of the season.
And it's not
and
like
now
they're
7-5, and that's not a horrible record.
Right.
Because the thing is that the jump from 7-5 to 11-5 happens a lot.
Yes.
So you get the right teams, you play the right games. It's not that hard to become a really good record.
Uh-huh.
But 7-5 is also right there, so close to 500 that lose a couple and all of a sudden your season doesn't look that great at all.
Exactly.
And it just feels like, as crazy
the team
as it
to do
seems,
it.
Like, they're the team that has consistently done it.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's funny because we always talk about teams that play each other in the playoffs. And you're like, oh, that team's got the edge because they've been here before.
Uh-huh.
It's like, if someone's going to fall apart, it's going to be Atlanta because they've got experience.
They do it better than anyone.
They do it better than anybody.
They are the best at it. They are paper mache.
It's literally just like the whole pick two to blow the great comeback seems like the exact fulcrum moment for their season to teeter into destruction.
Yeah.
As crazy as it seems, like, it's one of those places you just got to throw your hands up and be like, well, I mean, we did the most logical thing possible and the craziest thing happened.
Yep.
But that's the moment that just changes your entire outlook.
Yeah.
Like, we can't do anything. They came roaring back. We took the lead. We choked on a pick two.
Like, what?
Oh, what?
Which wasn't even a thing. Was it? It's this year. It's new again. Or, like, I think it used to be a thing maybe one time, but now they implemented it for this year.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't think it's been a thing recently. So
they kind of got rid of it and brought back.
Yeah. I don't understand why it wouldn't have always been a thing.
Right.
It kind of should have always been one, because...
I mean,
then you run into the situation like what we were talking about, where mathematically it makes absolutely no sense to kick an extra point.
Right.
Because if you in that case, if they missed it or if they hit it, same, they would get the same result. They were ahead and a field goal would beat them. If they made two, then they get to a field goal. But there's no... like, they get to a field goal with tie, but there's no downside.
There's no risk.
There was absolutely no risk.
Yeah.
So, now there's risk. And...
yeah.
It bit them.
Yep. That could be the play that buried them.
Ha-ha! They got totally Eric buried.
Boom. So, is Tampa for real?
I think they're as for real as we thought they were at the beginning of the year. Because if I remember right, we kind of felt like they were going to take a step ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least that they could.
Right.
We wouldn't be surprised if they took a step ahead. And they seem to be the team that we expected. They still could be a team that finishes 7-9.
Yeah.
That, I mean, wouldn't surprise me. It also wouldn't surprise me to see them finish 11-5.
Yeah. And one other perk that they have, like, I have to look and see who they actually finish up against. But for the whole showdown for the division with Atlanta, like, they're done. Like, they've already split with Atlanta.
Right, yeah. So they don't have to worry about that tiebreaker. Carolina probably is too far out to matter. I mean, it would just take them totally collapsing for it to matter.
It really would. Like, it would take both of them.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that's most difficult,
mm-hmm.
which I'll kind of get to when we talk about my team at some point. But with that being said, so they finish up, they have New Orleans, Dallas, New Orleans, and then that means that they would finish up against Carolina.
Okay.
Because week 17 has to be a division opponent, so. Both of the New Orleanses are right there, and they've already played Atlanta twice, so that means it would have to be Carolina.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they... And that gives them lots of chance. See, that's the thing about it, is those games give them lots of chances to bury the division behind them or to collapse.
Yeah.
Or, like, because they get New Orleans twice. If New Orleans wins both of those games, suddenly Tampa Bay is not in the playoff picture.
They're not even even close to contention anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, in New Orleans is just 5-7. I mean... It's one of those cases where, again, we talk about... It's funny because we've had, like, two phenomenal seasons out of specific teams out of this division in the past 6 years. But this is usually that worst division.
Yeah.
It was the AFC South last year because of their cluster, but... This just feels like a return to the glory days of the NFC South, doesn't it? And it seems, it's funny because, you know, I see that they have Dallas left on their schedule, and it's like, it's almost like it's right there because, oh yeah, you're gonna be bad again because suddenly the East is good again.
Yeah,
you gotta balance these things out, man.
Exactly, and my gut tells me nobody in this division gets to 10 wins.
I honestly can't disagree with that.
I think that someone wins with 9-7. Maybe one team gets the 10 wins. If a team gets the 10 wins, I think they're going to win it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but I mean, I also think that just from past experience, I think someone's going to win that division 9-7.
I mean, That's extremely plausible.
Atlanta or Tampa, if they split the rest of the way, they'll be 9-7.
Well, and not to mention the fact that you have New Orleans sitting right there thinking, I'm not out of it yet.
Yeah.
I mean, so with two games against Tampa, that's going to be
huge
fuel for them to play, you know, and play for the win.
Right. And New Orleans, while they have been, you know, they are 5-7, so they're very average. They have the best offense in the NFL.
They really do. You know, it's funny how much things have changed there, and yet Drew Brees continues to play elite.
Yep.
Like, I really applaud him for that, because, you know, it would be really easy to lay down and die for a bad team.
So,
let's face it, since their Super Bowl run year, they've been pretty bad, like, record-wise. And of course, you know, you've heard the controversy about Cooks now.
What's happened with Cooks?
So, I mean, Cooks is very upset with his role on the team.
Oh, okay.
And he had apparently no targets in the last game. And there's basically talks that he's going to be prime trade in the offseason.
I mean,
because he's a young guy, he's very talented. Someone's going to give him the farm for him.
Right. So they can easily, the thing they have to do is get some defense. They have the best offense in the NFL, and they can't even get to 500.
And see, and that's the funny thing is that Atlanta, right there in the division, has the same problem, and they always have.
Yeah.
Like, the couple of years that they were just atrocious in the past,
yeah,
you know, decade, or however long Matt Ryan's been there at this point. It's crazy that he's been there, like,
I know.
Like 7 years
it's
now,
been a
years.
Long time.
But they've been really bad when their offense hasn't been able to score. Because then it exposes how bad their defense has always
right,
been.
Because their defense can't hold anyone. And if their offense doesn't score a ton, they lose.
Yeah.
And that's what happens with the Saints. They have to win in a shootout every single week.
And it's funny because, you know, Carolina destroyed this division last year by being the greatest defense in the league.
Yep. And now they're...
And now they're bad.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I don't know how much you would agree with this or not, but it seems like when you see the different divisions in the NFL and you also look at... Like, even if you go like the college ranks and look at some of the conferences, teams try to emulate whoever is successful in that division or conference at the time.
Right.
And so it's always funny because you might get that one wild hair year that a team comes in with something completely different and wins it.
Yes.
But it seems like they don't stay. Now, Carolina, honestly, I thought they were going to be even better this year because they were going to get Kelvin Benjamin back.
I thought so too.
You know? And
I thought they lost Josh Norman, who, I mean, if you've seen him play for the Redskins, I don't think they actually miss him that much.
Yeah, I mean, it's been the case with a lot of the big budget corners over the past. I'm gonna keep saying decade because that's my term right now.
It's like Revis has been the only one worth the money.
I mean, you remember the huge money that Dominican Sue got on the market?
Yes.
It's like I hadn't
and then
really
he was like
guy,
third
and
string
sudden,
within like an hour.
Yeah. Like I hadn't even heard of the guy really up until like a year before that. And they're like, oh, he's one of the best corners in the game. And then he got elite money and then he disappeared.
Yes, he did.
It's like, man.
On a team that
I sent a Dominican Sue, didn't I?
Oh, you totally did.
I totally did send a Dominican Sue. I'm talking about... Asamoah.
Yeah, I was right there with you.
I don't know who we were talking about.
I knew exactly who we were talking
name.
About. And that's
Nnamdi Asamoah.
Nnamdi Asamoah. Yeah, because I was like seeing him in his Eagles outfit and everything.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's nuts.
It's funny that we both just roll with it.
Yeah. Just no.
What's funny is like sometimes you'll see on like,
how many people listening to this do you think are like, oh yeah, that's right, it was Asamoah.
Yeah. But like you watch games or something, the guy's like, oh, and Louisville's got the 4-point lead coming out of the break. Excuse me, Georgetown. You know what I mean? Because like they just they say it backwards, and then like it's funny because sometimes you'll watch him and they don't correct him, but you see the other guy like it's like. He's leaving, like, no.
Hey,
no.
Looking for the right
you're
time
wrong.
To jump
you're
in.
You're wrong. It's like, if he doesn't correct himself,
yeah,
I don't know if I can do it. Like, I really, really want to.
Just gonna let him go. The
I'm going to cry myself to sleep tonight.
So
I can't believe I called him a Dominican Sue cornerback. Can you imagine him playing corner? Bump and run coverage.
Oh god.
Just murder a receiver.
Yeah, literally, like someone would just die.
They put him out in the slot against like the smallest receiver in the game, like Travis Benjamin or something, and he just murders him.
Wes Welker just got a concussion because you suggested the idea.
Percy Harvin retired again.
Yeah. Did you hear who's like coming? Who's trying to or thinking about coming back?
Percy Harvin? He's back.
Is he back?
He's back.
Wait, I didn't know he actually got
he's
back.
He's not like doing anything.
I thought it was basically like, no. Oh, this is going to happen. And then like, no.
No, he was on the field playing.
Was he really?
Yeah. He came back.
Percy Harvin, that is another one. He's like, the talent level that guy has and the, like, because you would see him go through these stretches where you're like, holy cow, this guy. He's
going to be unstoppable.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you saw him in the Super Bowl for the Seahawks. Like, watching that game, I thought he was the reason they won the Super Bowl. Personally.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
At the very least, he provided a lot of the spark that I think
they needed
to, like, just, like, shoot out of a cannon on the Broncos.
And that's what they needed to do, because obviously with that offense, if they didn't thump them, then they were going to be in a shootout, and they couldn't win a shootout.
Exactly. And so, I don't know, like, there's just a specific mentality that he had and that, like, he could play with. But those concussions, man, and the migraines and just
and, you know,
every
that's
single
horrible,
nagging,
you know,
issue.
Like, you hate when a guy has any kind of nagging thing like that just keeps him from ever becoming a great player.
Yep.
But,
I mean, Terrell Davis.
You know, it's so sad to think about the advancement of medicine.
Uh-huh.
And how, like, I mean, in Terrell Davis's era, and you give him credit because, you know, it happened to him twice.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, when a guy tore an ACL, he was done. Like, done. Like, not going to play again, done.
Right.
You know, now guys are like, he's going to be on the shelf for a few months.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like,
a guy was my career.
A guy could tear his ACL in the first game of the preseason and come back sometime after midseason.
Yeah.
Granted that, you know, the surgery goes really well, the rehab goes really well.
Of course. But still.
That's like, crazy. Like, that was a career-ending injury.
It's not an unheard of thing anymore. It's
not
like
watching your team and, like, they're like, oh, we think he tore an ACL, and you're like, oh, he's done. Like, I've just lost him.
Yeah. Like 6 to 8 weeks.
You're like, what?
Wait a minute. Playoffs?
Playoffs? Playoffs? Yeah. So, yeah.
So, the biggest turnaround in this division, we were talking about the Panthers and their defense. So, last year, they were considered what, maybe the second best defense in the league behind the first best defense who beat them in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Now, in points allowed, they are the fifth worst.
Yeah.
They,
and that's the problem. They just, they're not stopping anybody.
Not at all. They are, I mean, it's just, it's bad. Let me see if I believe, if I am not remembering this incorrectly, that they are, you know, they got a lot of, you know, sacks because their coverage was so good. This year, they are still, is this year? Wow. They are still actually doing really well at that. Okay, so they're still doing that. They're second in the league. One team is way down there who should really be up at the top, but we'll get to them later. We'll get to the AFC East. But they're just not stopping people.
And that's the thing about it. Like, I can tell you this as a Bengals fan, and then also as, sad to say, a Louisville fan in several of the games at the end of their season. The problem when you bring pressure is if you don't get home.
Yeah, you gotta.
And you see that in the NFL so much more now than you used to, because, you know, we always talk about how, like, if you're going to start a team, there's maybe a group of, like, 5-6 really super elite quarterbacks that you would always want to start your team with.
Yep.
And as much as we look at the other starters on those 10 teams that have a guy that you would consider their backup at any given moment, there's still a higher level of being able to execute those specific throws, those specific plays that, like, you know, I'm trying to think of a good, let me look at some teams here just to get a good example, but, you know, Blaine Gabbert.
Mm-hmm.
You send 6 guys into his face, he can drop a fade over someone's shoulder down the field because you sent all your defenders at him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and there's not a quarterback in the NFL that can't do that now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe they're not as fundamental with it most guys, when we talk about them not being accurate, it's usually on the run, on fast passes.
Yes.
But little, like, just drop it in a pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get burned on that if you bring the house every time.
With most teams, if you don't get home...
If you don't get home, you are in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, the point of an all-out blitz is for the quarterback not to get the ball away.
Exactly.
And if he does, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's always been the case. But that's... It's funny because some of the best defensive teams, I feel like, are not teams that blitz a lot.
Right.
They're teams that their front four get home a lot.
Yep.
And the more you have to blitz, the more you can get burned.
That's it. So report cards on the NFC South.
So, I have to give Atlanta... For me personally, it probably sounds harsh. It's a C. Like, you would think that a team, like in a 5-7 type of area, would be a C.
Yeah.
But the problem is they look so good at times, they should have run away with this division. They should be 9-3 right now.
Right.
If they were 9-3, they would be a solid A. If they were 8-4, they would be a solid A. But for some reason, at 7-5, the way that they... I mean, they were down huge against Kansas City. I give them all the credit in the world for making that comeback. But their defense is not built to be in holes like that.
Yeah.
So all the credit in the world to them for making a comeback. I feel like John Gruden with a lot of hand motions right now. But... It's a C to me because they should have run away with it.
Yeah.
Carolina is atrocious compared to last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were still undefeated at this time last year.
Yeah.
So, they've had all the opportunity in the world.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Yeah. Now, I'm a little more lenient with them because I expected them to be 3-9 right now. So, I give them a B. Based on what I was expecting, the thought did cross my mind to go with A, but they should be 9-3.
Yeah.
Like you said, they should be running away with it.
So much talent.
Their defense is just... I mean, it's so bad. Their defense is just so bad. They're leading their division because they have Matt Ryan and they have Julio Jones and they have Sanu. And they've got their tandem of running backs that, when they're healthy, are really good. But so I give them a B with the assumption that it'll probably be a C by the end of the year.
So, it's funny because with Tampa, I'm going to go straight to B+.
Mm-hmm.
They were that team, again, we talked about earlier. They felt like they could be a sneak into the conversation team.
Yes.
I remember talking about it in the preseason. Like, I watched them play a game against the Browns. And I was like, I'm pretty sure the Browns are terrible. And I feel really bad for RG3 because he's literally running for his life in this game.
Right.
But they really impressed me. Like, man, they look good. I was like, I just wish that they were playing someone other than the Browns.
Like, anyone
so I could
else.
Have a better barometer.
Anyone else.
But, I mean, the defense is playing well.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting a lot of pressure. And then Jameis Winston is, as much as I didn't like the guy.
He's playing well.
He's playing really well. And, I mean and when you have a guy like Evans, like, it's funny because there's a lot of really good, big, talented receivers in the NFL.
Right.
But as far as, like, just pure size and that whole just throw it up there, he might be the closest thing to Calvin Johnson now that Calvin Johnson's
gone. He might be.
And granted, that didn't work out the best for Matthew Stafford. Like, they didn't exactly run away with anything.
Right.
But that's high praise.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Calvin Johnson would still be the best receiver in the NFL if he hadn't stepped away.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So, I got to give him a straight
B+.
Assuming
also he could be healthy, but
that's true.
That.
So, straight B+ for Tampa.
Yeah, I don't have much to add, really. I actually have the exact same grade for them, B+. If they finish with 10 wins, they get an A. If they finish with 9 wins, they stay at a B+ for me. And then it kind of drops from there.
Right.
But they seem on track to continue having a good season. I mean, like we were saying, I think they're what we thought they could be.
Yeah.
In a positive way.
Yeah.
So
it really comes down to those two games with New Orleans. Like,
yeah,
what they do with those two games are going to define whether or not they're a playoff team.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
And with New Orleans, man.
Because by the time they get to Carolina, I think it's going to be too little too late either way. Either they're going to have fallen too far that the Carolina game is going to be meaningless, or they're going to have gone so much up that they can rest players for.
I think so too. I think it'll be one or the other.
Yeah.
With New Orleans, man, I'm going to give them a C. I'm going to give them a C+, actually, because they're even in it.
Yeah.
I thought they'd have two wins.
I'm in the same boat with you. I'm actually almost on the verge of going B-.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like they've exceeded my expectations so much.
By a lot, yeah. But that's because their offense has been A+, and their defense has been F-.
Yeah.
Like, if they could somehow get
like
a negative...
Like, their defense is a G.
Yeah. Like, so, that's... They're what we expected them to be, except with a way better offense.
Yeah.
Their defense is as bad as we expected. Their offense has played way better than we expected.
And so
we expected them to be good, their offense.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's funny that you can exceed expectations that way, but it seems so funny to be given, because it's almost like you have to grade teams on the curve, because it's like, really, we're giving teams more credit for being mediocre,
mm-hmm,
because we thought they would be awful.
But
I do. I don't know why, but I give New Orleans more credit than I do Atlanta, because Atlanta should be better, and New Orleans, on paper, is worse. So
yeah, that's. And then Carolina. I mean, it's hard to. It's real hard.
15-1, 17-2.
It's really tough to give them anything but an F.
It's really difficult. I would give them a D-, except for the one drive suspension.
Yeah.
That gives them an F.
There you go. There you go. Got an F. So, now to the NFC North. And
moving on up.
Can you believe the thing we talked about really happened? Detroit's offense is better without Calvin Johnson.
It's crazy. You never know until you know.
Yeah.
And then we know.
It makes no sense, and it makes all the sense.
It does. You know,
it makes no sense because you lost your best player.
Right.
Also, now you lost your best excuse.
Yeah.
You know, you can't say, well, Calvin Johnson got hurt, or, well, you know, they were triple covering him. You don't have a guy to force feed the ball to.
Right.
You got to spread it around and use the talent that you've always had. If they were using their talent this way when they had Calvin Johnson, they would have been a perennial 12-4, 13-3 team.
There's no reason why they shouldn't have been. You just look at them and you always looked at that team and you said, why are they struggling?
Yeah.
And everybody's like, well, it's their secondary. Like, it doesn't matter. They should be blowing people out of the water.
Yeah.
The secondary should be getting burned because everybody gets burned in garbage.
Yeah, that's true.
But instead, they were always close games.
Mm-hmm.
They should have been blowing people out.
Yeah.
And the way those guys play this year, and the guy that surprised me almost the most is Theo Riddick. Like,
yeah.
I mean, catching and running out of the backfield.
He's playing great.
He's been that, like, unexpected guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of those guys that, you know, you heard the name of the last couple of seasons, it's like, okay, well, I mean, is he ever going to...
Yeah.
Kind of.
Okay. Right.
But
they figured it out.
Right. I mean, and they're not going to run the ball down anybody's throat anytime soon.
No. But
they'll
use the run effectively.
But having the threat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you always talk about how much better a team can be if they're not one-dimensional.
Yeah.
And they're 1.5-dimensional.
That's all you need to be.
But
when you're really good at one thing,
yeah,
you only need to be pretty good at the other. Like, you don't have to be great. Just be all right. Like, be... more than serviceable.
Yeah.
And they are more than serviceable in the run game, and they're really good in the passing game.
65 running backs, too. You know?
Yeah, that's true, too.
It's like, you know, Riddick's had a good year, but, I mean, they got a lot of guys back there.
Now, Minnesota.
That's such a hard conversation for me because of three crazy facts.
Yeah.
Number one is the Teddy injury. And you know what? Even with Teddy getting hurt, they make a couple of runs and a couple of games.
Yeah.
And it's like, nobody told them their season was over like we all thought it was.
Yeah.
And then Peterson goes down.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you're definitely done now.
Yeah.
And then they rip off three more wins.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, still nobody told them their season was over. They're looking pretty human now.
Yeah. It's
Sam Bradford is starting to look like Sam Bradford. You know what I mean? Like,
Sam Bradford looks like the best version of Sam Bradford you could have hoped for.
Right.
He's not killing you. There's that. He's not losing the game for them, which was the worry.
Right.
Right. What you were hoping for when you brought in Sam Bradford was that you had Adrian Peterson so that Sam Bradford could be exactly what he's being right now and you'd be okay.
Right.
But then you lose Adrian Peterson, and that offensive line isn't doing them any favors.
Really not.
Their offensive line is just not
good. Bradford is not exactly Captain Mobile anyways.
Right.
But now, when he has to run around, or should I say, duck in place?
Yeah.
Not good.
Not good at all. And so their running backs they're not producing because there's no holes to get through. And they don't have... Even Adrian Peterson, in the couple games he had, he was only averaging, I think, 3 yards a carry. I mean, it wasn't great, and that's about what they're averaging.
Yeah.
It wasn't very good. Now, he always, every year he picks up steam as the year goes.
Right.
That just is the way that...
That's his MO, you know?
Yeah, but... I remember, they didn't put him on the season-ending IR... Right? But now that the playoffs don't look likely, I can't think of a reason to bring it back for the year.
It's just difficult because you're still dancing around in that. The sad fact is that they were still tied for that division 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And... a two-game losing streak paired with a Lions four-game winning streak.
Yes.
Has changed all that. And Green Bay is starting to look like the team they're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. It's funny because they're still so in the hunt, but it feels like they're done. And it's sad because Zimmer's really built a really solid defense there.
Yeah.
They're strong.
Yeah. Those first few games, they looked like they were the best defense in the league. Now they look like what we were expecting, like a really good defense.
Improved, but above the middle of the league.
Yeah, definitely. But...
yeah. And it's difficult.
If you're a Vikings fan, and I know we're both kind of passive Vikings fans from Teddy, and I've been from Adrian Peterson for a long time now, and just like I've actually going back to Chris Carter days, I've been, I feel like I've always kind of rooted for the Vikings, but not in an active sort of way. Right. It's gotta be a tough year for an active Vikings fan.
This was their year. Like that was the advertisement at the beginning of the season. You know what I mean?
They were like, so if you just think about putting Teddy and Peterson back in and imagine they had them for this whole season, I mean, what are they? They're 9-3 right now.
At least.
Yeah.
At least. It's just, it's heartbreaking, and it's mainly heartbreaking because of our such strong attachment to Teddy.
Yep.
But.
And, how many more seasons do you have left out of Adrian Peterson? He's got another set of injuries to deal with.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's a freak of nature, and he'll come back and he probably will still be a good running back.
But at some point you break down.
Yeah. And he, at this point, he's at the age where every running back breaks down.
And it's not exactly like he's been one of those running backs that has ever really split carries, has ever really, for that matter, been, other than injuries, standing on the sideline for anything. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, yeah.
His
second season was the last time that anyone really took any carries away from him.
I mean, like, if they're down 25 points, they're still handing to him because he might break it off.
Yeah.
You know, like
there's a 60-yard touchdown waiting to happen.
Right. And that's just sad because you look at the number of backs in the league and the way, because, you know, obviously this year with LA, it's a crazy story to think about how much they've devalued the position otherwise. Like, guys don't have that much tread off the tires.
Yep.
By his age, and they're still done. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I mean, this was their year.
Yep.
And, you know, it's funny because 5-6 weeks in, I was like, you know what? They still believe. They're still rallied around them.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. It really is.
Mm-hmm. It's a bummer. And
injuries shape the season of at least 6 teams every year.
Every year. Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's Minnesota this year.
Mm-hmm.
They, I mean, 7-5, that's still solid.
Oh, wait, they're 6-6.
Unfortunately, they're not 7-5.
Yeah. They just needed to rattle off one more. Now, Green Bay.
One more and they would have been.
Are they surging? They're limping ahead into 6-6.
Yeah. The important thing, I think, for them was, like, any team that hits a streak under the bar, it's getting to 500.
Yeah.
From there, it's like, heads above water, we can do what we
can. Exactly. But, and because they're Green Bay, because they have Aaron Rodgers, they're a team that will likely be in the wild card hunt. If I had to bet on it, they'll probably squeak in because that's just what they do.
Yeah.
You know, like... Yeah.
The only real question at this point is, like, can they run the table?
Right.
Because that seems... You know, when you have a team that's 6-6, you feel like it's not likely.
Right.
It could happen, but it doesn't happen that often.
Mm-hmm.
So, will 9-7 make the playoffs in the NFC? That's the hard part. Because, you know, they need 3 to get there, and several teams need just 2.
And there's one team that needs 1.
And the Giants are already at 8, so.
Yeah. So,
it's going to potentially take them winning the division.
The good news for them is the two teams that have 7 wins are both in the AFC South. They might finish with 7 wins, so who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. Not out of the picture at all there.
No. And then Chicago, I mean, what did we expect?
I mean, it's funny because, like, I think I'm going to jump straight to the grade there. Like, I think they're a C.
Yeah.
Because they're exactly what they should have been.
Yep.
No better.
No worse. If anything, like, I'm pleasantly surprised with their, with Howard. The running back, like, oh, they've found themselves a back for the next few years at least. Mm-hmm. Sucks that Jeffrey's suspended right now. They might have gotten another win or so in here. But they're the Bears, and
the Bears are that team that it seems like for the past decade. Now they've always found ways to win these 2 or 3 games, and it's like, oh, they lost to Chicago. Like, dang it. Chicago always finds a way to win that one game. They're not winning any of those this year.
No.
So, I mean, right now at 3-9, I mean, they're probably going to be a 4-win team.
Yep. That
feels
seems
pretty
likely.
Solid number.
But, and that's about what we'd expect.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they would be a 6 or 7-win team if they got a couple of lucky breaks.
Right.
In a normal season. But this year, like, all the injuries at quarterback are, like, you don't have any confidence in Jay Cutler anyways.
Right.
At least for some reason, he was decent when he was in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's something about his
play.
He
had a couple years in Chicago where...
And then he came to Chicago. It always seems weird. It's a very telltale sign when you have a guy that's considered to be one of the upper echelon next tier quarterbacks and he gets traded or goes to another team. It's like,
Yeah.
If the quarterback's such a premium, why would that guy get traded?
Yeah, exactly.
But he is who he is, and then Hoyer breaks an arm.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's...
Well, but now...
It's hard to win without consistent quarterback play in the NFL.
What's his face that's starting for them right now, though?
Bad to say. I can't even remember.
Well, I mean, no, it's not bad to say because I can't remember either. Jeez, what is his name? Anyway, guy who is getting his shot... I mean, you're like, he's the third string quarterback for a reason, for an actual reason.
Yeah.
Cutler is better than him.
Right.
And, you know, he's going to try to make the most of his chances right now. And why can't I think of his name? It's the kid from Notre Dame, I believe. No, it doesn't matter. It's the Bears.
He'll be somewhere else.
Yeah, I agree with you. I give them a C, actually, because the talent they have and what they're doing with it is pretty much exactly what you'd think.
That's exactly what you would expect.
Yeah. Green Bay, C+ at the moment, with the arrow trending up for the season. What do you think?
I actually am going to go D+.
Okay.
Because they just seemed like they had all the playmakers in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I don't remember, I don't know if you remember, you know, my preseason prediction, but just looking at their schedules, like, who's going to beat them? Like, they just, they're a solid team. Everybody in the division sucks. They're playing all these other teams that it just seems like they're going to walk over.
Mm-hmm.
I had them at 15-1 or something stupid like that. And, like, I mean, they blew that out of the water in, like, 3 weeks.
Exactly.
So, I mean, expectations were high there because it just seemed like they were going to have to win a lot of games to compete with Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Like, them and Minnesota, they were now high echelon teams.
Right.
But then, like, just as Minnesota's falling off, they're like, oh, we can relax too.
Yeah.
Wait, why is Detroit in the driver's seat? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's just, I feel like they've had a rash of injuries as well.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's football. Like, yeah.
And it is football.
I really hate to devalue the running back position again because, like, there's been a lot of elite running backs throughout our fandom days.
Yeah.
But, like, losing Eddie Lacy should not be the make or break of the Packers season.
No. I mean, it should hurt. It should cost them a game, at least, because, like, they need to be able to run the ball.
They need to be able to run, pound that clock, you know, at the end of a game somewhere.
But, it shouldn't tank their season, that's for sure. And, they just aren't. I mean, they're definitely, the reason I give them the C+ is because they do, They just feel like, well, first of all, they are at 500, so I default to C, and then because it feels like they're going in a positive
direction.
Yeah, I think that's really where I went with that. The Vikings, on the other hand, they're a tough grade.
It's really hard to grade a team that. It's one thing to say, oh, we have a lot of injuries. It's another thing to be like, potentially your top two players.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Like, you're basically, everything your offense was built around.
Right.
Was taken away.
Everything. And that's, like.
There's only one other team that experienced that this year, and that was the first four games for the Patriots.
Yeah.
Yeah. And somehow they went 3-1. Minnesota went, they were 4-0 in their first four games.
Yeah.
They had all theirs taken away. Like, yeah. So what is going on? Like, everyone can sustain it for a little bit.
Yeah.
It's almost like everybody rallies and they're like, yeah, we can do it. And they're like, oh, no, we can't.
Guys, we can still do this.
I'm really tired.
My leg's hurt. Minnesota.
It's tough. Like, I feel like I should grade them better because none of it's their fault. But
I think I'm going to go C.
I think that's where I'm at too.
And, you know, I hate to say it because I want to be like, no, man, they're a B because, I mean, they've achieved so much with the start of that season, losing two guys. But at the same time, that's when you can rally.
Yeah.
And so once the immediate, like, bonding together happens and you get a few of those wins, now we're starting to see what that team is without those two guys.
Yep.
And it's sad, but
yeah, their defense has been good. They're third in total yardage.
They're still a really good team, but
they just don't. I mean, they just don't have. They can't put up points.
That's the thing.
They just can't do it. Like, there's just no. There's no points to get to the scoreboard. They have to have the best defense in order.
Yeah.
To do anything,
they need
really
last year's Carolina defense.
Yeah, at minimum,
and then
maybe last year's Broncos defense.
Right. Even with that, they still don't have a Cam Newton to carry them at this point.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I see as well. And then Detroit, I can tell you,
I think Detroit is going to be one of my first A's.
I give them an A too.
You feel like It's what exactly what you said. They lost their best weapon and their best excuse. And, I mean, they're still winning games. It's 8-4, obviously, is not running away with the league or anything.
No.
And they haven't run away with the division yet.
But they look poised to do it.
But they really just need a couple of solid wins.
Mm-hmm.
And then let those other two teams continue to be mediocre, and then they've got it.
Yeah.
And here's the question, is Matt Stafford a legit MVP candidate?
No.
See, it's funny because I hear a lot of guys starting to talk about that, and it's like, well, what? No. Because he's doing the same thing he's always done.
That's exactly it. He's not making the stupid mistakes.
He's not trying to throw in a quadruple coverage.
Right.
To get it to Calvin yet.
And that doesn't say MVP to me. That just says growth.
Right.
So. NFC East.
So, one division to rule them all.
We get to our first clinch playoff spot.
One division to find. One division to bring them all. And one division to bind them.
Yeah.
Dallas is... Okay, so Dallas lost opening night to the Giants.
Yeah, in a close game.
In a close game. And they're 11-1.
It is hard to give them anything but an A+. Like, I'm just going to go ahead and say it out there right now. They're an A+. There is... I can't believe the Cowboys are this good.
I can't either. It's one of those cases where, you know, you build a line that good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people look at you and say, you know, you're spending a lot of money on your offensive line.
And they're like, we sure are.
And they're like, yep. I mean, for an organization that's always prided itself upon.
I mean, Tony Romo would have retired 10 years ago if it weren't for this offensive line.
Right. But for an organization that's always prided itself on having stars, and it's like when Elliott came out, all the analysts are talking about how great of a back he was going to be in the NFL because he was so ready for the system. He played that kind of a system. He's going to be a great run blocker on top of, and I was like, what? Of course, me hating Ohio State was
yes.
Like, whatever. That's part of it. But I am unbelievably impressed.
Yeah.
He is the real deal.
The kid is,
Well, to put it into perspective for you here, you know, there's also conversations that say, well, again, that offensive line.
Yeah.
Anybody can run behind the offensive line.
Eh.
With that being said, Darren McFadden ran behind the offensive line last year and had a almost revitalizing career kind of a year.
Right.
He ran for over 1,000 yards,
mm-hmm.
3 touchdowns in 16 games. In 12 games... Ezekiel Elliott has 1,285.
Yep.
And 12.
Yes. So.
there's a lot of long break runs in that, too. It's not just like,
right.
Let's pound the ball and go. I mean,
he's averaging 4.9 yards a carry.
Beast.
What can you say? You give it to
two
him.
Carries to a first down. I mean, that's ideal.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
And when you look at it, let me see. He is probably, he is leading the league in attempts as well.
Yeah.
So
he actually already has more attempts this year than McFadden had last year by a few. I think like, what does he have, like 248 or something like that?
He's got 263.
263. I think McFadden last year had like 236 or something like that.
Gotcha.
All year. But I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Now, just looking at these stats though, jumping ahead just a little bit, here's an insane stat. So Ezekiel Elliott has the most carries. Melvin Gordon from San Diego, second most. Can you guess who the third most is?
Third most carries in the
NFL. In the league. Even Gordon's a little surprising, but not crazy surprising.
Like,
yeah.
Actually, I saw
he's been durable.
I saw a stat on him. They were talking about after the game that he's got 10 rushing touchdowns on the season.
10 rushing touchdowns. He's averaging 4 yards a carry.
He's the first running back in the history of the NFL to have 10 rushing touchdowns in a season immediately after having 0.
Oh, wow. That's weird.
So it's a weird stat.
Yeah.
Like, huh. Anyways.
But, yeah.
All right, who is, or give me, what team?
New England Patriots.
That Blunt runs a lot, man.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
they
that's
do
the
run
thing.
Him a lot.
It's, what a weird year 2016 is, man. LeGarrette, yeah. The New England Patriots have, he's third in the league in attempts, and he is fifth in the league. Fifth in the league in yards. Because you hit him, and he laughs, and just, and then 12 more people hit him. I don't know where they get the extra guy. It's probably Edelman.
And it's actually not even just one, like, because the first guy that he hit, you know, fell down, and he's still laying back there.
Right, yeah, yeah. So Amendola.
He's running, carrying 12 guys, and it's like, Amendola, get off my back.
Oh, but. Sorry about that.
Whoops.
Just looking for another injury.
Same team, man, same team.
But, he actually, I know that since LeGarrette Blount came into the league, he leads the NFL in yards after first contact. Like, average yards after first contact. Because he's just, I mean, he's like the modern Jerome Bettis.
Yeah.
And he did play for the Steelers league. For 10 minutes.
It's like I want to make a joke, but I don't have any for that.
Yeah, just, you know.
It is
anyway,
what it is.
But, and actually, the other interesting thing is, remember how people thought DeMarco Murray would totally fall off after he left that wonderful offensive line of the Cowboys? He's second in the league in rushing yards.
So there's something about, like, he's not a bad running back.
Nope.
You know, the funny thing is, like, I remember him in college, and I was like, there's something about watching him run in college.
Uh-huh.
That's almost more impressive than Peterson.
Yeah, he actually reminded me of Peterson.
A lot.
Yeah.
No, it's just been in the NFL, Peterson is such a freak that, like...
Yeah.
The only play you ever need to watch to understand exactly who Adrian Peterson is as a running back is that game against Cleveland where he, like, throws the guy out of bounds. Like, and that's,
like,
that's Adrian Peterson.
Oh, okay.
That's okay.
Yeah, he's a different thing.
Yeah.
A different thing than everything else.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, Cowboys, and then we got Ezekiel Elliott and then Dak Prescott, who also has been, I mean, for a rookie quarterback who isn't, he's not a throw.
He's not
a 40.
Prototypical,
yeah, he's not a 40 passes a game kind of guy, but he's playing really well. Like, you would have a tough time saying Ezekiel Elliott isn't the MVP of their team, but there's an argument to be made for Dak Prescott.
It's a compelling question that I've heard is, who's the rookie of the year on the Dallas Cowboys?
Because whoever it is the rookie of the year in the NFL.
Yeah. And I still think that it's Elliott because number one, that line is so good that it gives Prescott the freedom to not feel like he's in trouble much.
Right.
And then Elliott is such a threat.
Yeah.
That it's exactly what you talked about with Sam Bradford is supposed to have Adrian Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to worry about too much because we have Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
That's been Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, that has been Ezekiel Elliott. And
arguably, he is the best running back in the NFL. Not just statistically, but just the way that he carries the ball, the way that he pass blocks. Like,
I actually don't think it's arguably. I think he's the best. I think he's the best running back in the NFL right now. I want to see Adrian Peterson back for a season to see if he
retains
actually,
the crown.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, and DeMarco Murray, the fact that he is right there also says a lot that, you know, he's going to be around for a while too.
Yeah,
I think.
It's not just that line. There's talent there too.
Exactly.
And so and the same obviously goes for Murray.
Mm-hmm. You know, Murray didn't look great with the Eagles. They went to the Titans.
But who does?
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
And now he's looking pretty good again. So who's next in the division?
Next up in the division is the Giants.
Who are?
They're the Giants. It's so funny because I feel like at this same point in any given year that Eli Manning has been there, decade, they could be 8-4, they could be 4-8.
Yes.
It just feels like they are so up and down every
season.
And
either way, they still might make the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and if they get there, they'll probably win the Super Bowl against the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm sorry, buddy.
So I'm really pulling for them to not make the playoffs because this is... It's a little less now, but it seems like a year that the Patriots, I mean, they're still looking like the team that could roll through to the Super Bowl.
And then lose.
And then lose.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
I understand completely. But you know what? I can't really sympathize much because we'll get to my team later. So 8-4.
I mean, they kind of are what.
And the funny thing is that, you know, I can speak from personal experience with my team having lost to them in our first game out of our bye, 21-20.
Right.
I don't know how much of it is because obviously Cincinnati's offensive line is atrocious, right?
Yes.
But the relentless pressure. So it's funny to say that, you know, Jason Pierre-Paul is still a great player.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny to look at them and think that, you know what, they're like, we're up by 1 point. You need 34 yards to get field goal range. I'm sitting the house every time. Don't care.
Yeah.
We talked about it, you know, if you get home, you look great.
Yeah.
And they got home a lot.
Yes.
It's hard to say how much of that is really the impressive defensive front and how much of that is the horrible Cincinnati front, but...
But one way or another, that's how it went.
But that's how you win championships, is roll the dice in a one-point game and trust your team. You know what I mean?
Like, yep.
That's the kind of defensive stand, because, I mean, God, that was like 3 drives worth, I might add.
Because mm-hmm.
it was like the entire fourth quarter was 21-20, and like we just kept getting the ball and punting it. But like, that's the kind of confidence builder that makes them a scary playoff team if they get in.
Yeah.
Just like you said.
Yeah. If they get into the playoffs, I genuinely expect them to make the Super Bowl. Like,
you hate to say it, but...
I think we mentioned it in the preseason thing of, if they make the playoffs, Eli Manning suddenly becomes the best guy, at least in the conference.
Yeah. Yeah.
But...
So since they're already graded Dallas, I'll go ahead and grade the Giants. And they're a solid B-plus to me.
Yeah.
Because, again, it just feels like they would easily be a 500 team. I feel like most years, they're a 500 team at this time of the year.
Right.
And it's the last four that they either win 3 and get in or lose 3 and go home.
Yeah.
And to already be in the position of 8-4 where, you know... I don't see them making a run in the division because Dallas is not going to lose that many games.
Right.
But they're very easily the 5 seed.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
There's not even a big risk of them falling to 6 right now.
I agree. I don't.
It's not often that I would see a team with 4 weeks left that's not winning their division that I would say is a playoff lock.
But they're pretty close.
But I think
close
the Giants
to...
are very close to being a playoff lock.
Yeah. And actually, for that reason, I give them an A minus, because they are kind of like the Lions to me. Yeah. They play a lot like the Lions, actually.
Yeah.
It kind of depends on if that quarterback throws 3 touchdowns or 3 interceptions today.
Yeah.
And this year, they're kind of, you know, I guess the minus comes from the fact that they're not leading their division.
Yeah.
So same grade as the Lions, just minus.
Right.
A minus. Right. But you know, good year for them so far. Then you have Washington, and I saw a stat a second ago that I gotta let you in on. So
I gotta hear this one.
The Washington Redskins,
because they're such a funny team,
are the second most productive offense in the NFL.
And it doesn't surprise me. Have you seen many of their games this year?
I've seen one or two, but it's they've got something rolling in the offensive side of the ball, at least.
Yeah.
And you know, hovering around 500 is kind of what we would expect.
It's funny because they're like the East Saints.
Yeah.
Like for some reason, we don't want to give almost anyone on their offense any legitimacy. For some reason, like, I don't know if you're like me anyways.
Uh-huh.
I'll get Kirk Cousins and I'm saying, Not a franchise quarterback.
Right.
I look at that group of receivers, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember you when you were trying to be great in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Jackson, but, like, I mean, what has he done since Philly that has really made him still look like an upper echelon receiver?
Right. I mean, he looks like Sabatru, a solid wide receiver, too.
Solid, too.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's almost like, because remember the free agent frenzy they had, like, what, 3 years ago when they drafted. They signed, like, every wide receiver known to man.
Yeah.
It's like a free agent receiver careers go to die right now or something.
Yep.
But, I mean,
the new Raiders.
Yeah. And the new Raiders are,
I don't know what they are now.
But
they're really good.
Because they're like that New Orleans of the East. The thing that's harder to grade them on is that last year they won the division with the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They won a bad division. They were the survivor of a bad division.
Yeah.
This year, looking at them being 6-5-1, this is who they are, I feel like.
Yeah.
They're a 500 team.
Yep.
Like, maybe a game or two over if the cards, you know, fall right for them.
Yeah.
But I feel like...
So they're pretty much like they were last year. Just the rest of the division, or, well, two of the division teams are playing better.
Right. I mean, when you have a division leader, it's 11-1, 12 games in. I mean, you talk about someone that's running away with it.
Yeah.
Like, it's rare that you're going to have
They're running away with the conference.
Yeah. By a lot.
I mean,
next up is...
Detroit.
I mean, technically, the Giants are behind them.
Actually, I guess technically, next up would be Seattle, right?
Right.
Because 8-3-1.
Because of the...
Jesus. The tie. it doesn't even... Like, I'm actually, like, I kind of make it... It feels like it's worse to me.
I know.
Like, it's more like being 8-5. Yeah. Like, they get an extra loss because they tied... But anyway.
It should count as a quarter of a win and three quarters of a win. Like, well, you embarrassed the entire league this week, so...
Way to go.
We're going to wait that a little more.
Couldn't even get a field goal, huh? Oh, what were the weather conditions like? Just fine? Oh, okay.
Dome? Yeah, but wait, it was the Rams, right? Oh, I forgot the Rams aren't in St. Louis anymore.
No, it was...
I'll say those are both domes.
Yeah.
No, they lost to Arizona.
Yeah, they lost to Arizona. Which
those are both domes.
Oh, I thought Arizona was outside.
It can be.
Oh, okay.
Like, they can open the roof.
Okay.
And then they wheel the grass in from outside. Have you ever seen that whole contraption, how that works? Yeah, like, their field actually is an outdoor field that they let grow in the sun there. And then when the game
starts, inside.
They, like, there's a big thing and it wheels the field into the stadium.
Nice.
Can you just imagine, like... You know, they're like, first and 10 at, like, the 4-yard line. It's like, well, it's back. It's nice tail. So they're, like, 4th and 1 down at the, oh, God, what are we going to do? We're going to go for it. We need to kick field goal and try to get the onside kick. And then someone just starts wheeling the field.
No!
Wait, we're in the red zone now. It's like, we need to back up. We're going to run into that wall. No, but anyways. So, Washington is who they are.
Yeah.
Everybody else is just more legit.
Yep. And then Philadelphia is also who they are. Well, I guess we should grade Washington first.
I'm going to give Washington a B minus. You see the debate there.
Yeah, it's like, oh.
Because they're still above 500.
Yeah.
And... That offense is ridiculous. Like, it shouldn't be. Like, all the credit in the world to Gruden and his crew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was teetering between C+ and B-, and I think I go B- because the offense is surprisingly good.
And, you know, if you're going to grade on that same curve of being around 500,
mm-hmm.
they're above it. And there's a tie.
Yeah.
You lost one less than I thought you would.
Yep.
But you didn't win it for that B.
It's those sons of guns.
Philadelphia is that team that I thought was had the potential to take a big step forward. And when the year started, I was like, well, okay, it's looking like a good prediction. It's not such a good prediction now.
Yeah. I, for them, you know, I think they did They've done a good job. I think they may have actually already hit their ceiling of how many wins they're going to get. They might rattle. They might lose the rest. They might lose out. I say at best they go 1-3.
Losing streak already. So
I say at best they go 1-3. I think they're max a 6-win team. And that's better than I thought they'd be this year. I actually thought they would be much lower.
Thought they were going to hit around 8-8. And if they hit their stride right, they might, you know, be that crazy playoff team that nobody expected.
Right.
But I don't know. As good as their season started out, I guess the big telling sign is this week with the relatively lopsided loss.
Mm-hmm.
Their coach is calling them out and saying, Peterson's like, I didn't see a lot of effort from guys. Like, it's still early to start kind of throwing your team under the bus.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that I'm not really sure on is, like, is that going to be the thing that splinters the team into, like...
Could be.
You want effort? Here's your effort. You know.
Yeah. We'll work hard to get you fired.
Yeah. How you like that job, coach?
Yeah.
So
there's
for
not
me,
a lot to say about them, really.
I'm going to go C-.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's that average. It's right there where you kind of expected that they might be.
Mm-hmm.
But... for me, a little less, because I feel like they should be a 500 team.
See?
And right now, they're not.
I actually am... I feel like C- is giving them a bump to what I thought they should get. I thought they should get a D, but because they are doing better than I expected, I go C- as well. They're just... They're okay.
They're okay.
Yeah.
I mean, plain and simple. All right, so that takes us straight to playoff standings.
Woo woo!
So we were talking about who's leading the divisions, obviously, being Dallas, Detroit, currently very slimly Atlanta.
Yeah.
And then Seattle.
by a technicality on Atlanta. But
so there's actually not a tiebreaker that really goes into consideration for the seeding of the division leaders. Because the records all do slightly shake out.
Oh, yeah. Nobody is...
Yeah, Dallas is running away with it at 11-1, and they are the only team that has actually clinched a playoff spot yet in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in. Seattle at 8-3-1 has a percentage points lead for the second first-round bye.
Yep.
So that leaves the third-seeded Lions at 8-4 and the fourth-seeded Falcons currently at 7-5. To compete for a wild card weekend.
Right. With the Falcons, because I just expect them to collapse.
Like, I know.
It really feels like, oh, way to go. You guys were in you were in the playoffs in week 13. Good job.
Yeah.
So you guys just take it easy in January. You'll be at home.
Like home field advantage?
No.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, the advantage of...
Is someone going to be here in your literal house?
Yeah.
Wow, I just had a Scott Stapp flashback.
The advantage of sleeping in.
you can lift weights later.
Yeah.
So then that leaves our wild card spots cleanly going to the Giants at 8-4 for the 5 seed, and currently the Buccaneers 7-5 for the 6 seed.
Yep.
There's nobody else with 7 wins or better in the NFC at the moment.
And you know... this is one of those years where it feels like the best teams, like the actual best teams in the conference, I think at least at this point, that makes sense. Like the 6 best teams appear to be the 6 teams getting in.
Yeah. And the real question, I think, is just going to be, does it hold?
Right.
The two that are obviously the biggest question marks to me at the moment are... if Detroit can maintain the North.
Right.
And then what happens
King
between,
of the North.
What happens between Tampa and Atlanta? Because if Green Bay comes on strong for the North, I feel like that's going to bump Atlanta out and Tampa up.
Yeah. I could see it.
So I think the standings as they are right now, Dallas is number one and they're going to stay number one.
I think so too.
There's not going to be any chance that Seattle gets enough to take them out.
Yeah, and also it doesn't seem like there's likely to be much of a chance that Seattle gets knocked out of their division spot.
Right. They obviously have the chance to not be in a
bye.
In a bye.
Right.
Because they do just have the half game lead on that spot at the moment.
Yeah, if Detroit stays on a run to end out the year, I think Detroit actually will probably wind up with the bye.
I could see it. Again, you just have to look at the competition in those divisions.
Yeah.
Green Bay is gonna fight for it.
Right.
Minnesota just feels like they're gonna fall off.
Yeah, I think.
And then Chicago is bad. They're really bad.
So
in the, I don't know. I'm almost like countering my own argument there. The bottom line is Jeff Fisher got a contract extension to beat the Seahawks. Okay.
You know, I think that kind of that's the best story of the NFC, I think, so far for this year is, you know, basically they're just sticking it to the Seahawks. The Rams just want to just Boom! 2 more years of beating the Seahawks.
9-6, baby. 9-6. And not looking good in the process of doing it.
Yep.
You know, it really stinks because I always feel like I always kind of look at the divisions. I'm like, I like that team, I like that team. So those are the teams that I kind of want to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look at the teams that are in now, and obviously Seattle's not going anywhere.
Right.
They're the one team that I just despise in this group. I'm not a fan of the Giants. Obviously, you're even less of a fan of the Giants.
Yeah.
But...
you know, the weird thing is I don't hate the Giants. I just don't want to see them in the playoffs. I want them to not be in the playoffs because I can't take it.
Yeah.
Just can't deal with it.
It's like, what's the most nerve-wracking game that you watch the entire year? Like, well, because the Super Bowl is one that I have to wait for, it's the Giants' first-round game in the wild card. I need them to go down, man.
Week 17, whoever the Giants are playing, that's usually the most nerve-wracking game because they're always one game in or one game out.
Yeah, yeah. It's like... I like the Packers, but like, who is going to fall out of there? It's going to have to be the Falcons or the Bucks.
Yeah.
And you know what? I would love for the Falcons to prove me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I would because...
But. They're not going to. No.
Let me down once. Shame on you. Let me down 15 times. Yeah. It's just one of those deals that I have no faith in them until they prove it.
Yeah, I agree. I just assume they're not going to make it.
All right. So if the playoffs started today, you would have the Lions hosting the Bucks and the Falcons hosting the Giants.
All right.
Winners? Predictions here?
I think the Lions and Giants would win.
Not the Tigers and the Bears?
Nope. Why? They're out.
So that, why are we even beating around the bush here? Is anybody going to beat Dallas in the NFC?
The Giants.
They have done it.
They're the only ones who have done it. And yep. I think in the playoffs, they would be the one to do it. And it upsets me a lot because I just keep seeing, like, in my head, it's like, oh, the Patriots, with all the injuries and everything, they'll still make it. They'll make it to the Super Bowl. Why are the Giants here? Why are the Giants here?
No, 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 no.
Not again.
I'm having deja vu, deja vu, deja vu.
Somehow David Tyree is back on the team.
Like, no, that's an illegal postseason ad. You can't. No.
He's got stickum on his helmet. I swear it.
He's like.
Hot hands.
He's full of hot hands. Oh, man. All right. Last set of questions, NFC based. Who's the most surprising team so far this year in the NFC?
The Cowboys.
I agree. It's not even that they're good, it's that they're that good.
Yeah, exactly. I thought they'd be good. Because,
you know, I pitched them to be probably the second team in the division.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
Hey, prove me wrong. Most disappointing team in the NFC. I think it's got to be Carolina.
I actually think it's the Cardinals.
That's true.
It's, but they, I think they're really kind of both They're fighting over that.
Right.
Who's the biggest disappointment?
They're playing for the NFC non-championship now. Right.
No, and not even so much like the non, like not like they're the worst, but like the, who's the most aggressively mediocre?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like who's...
I don't want to make a good pun on that, and I got nothing.
Yeah.
They're just... Bad joke night, man.
Oh, well.
All right, so I think that we've probably really kind of covered these two topics already, but... Which team is currently in that's not going to make the playoffs?
The Falcons.
I agree. Which team is currently out that you think gets in?
The Packers.
I agree on that
one. Yeah, I mean, it's...
All right.
Just same thing as always.
Yeah.
But at least the Bucks get in, and that's a surprise.
So, which coach do you think was on the hot seat that has saved his job?
Ooh, that's a good question.
In the NFC.
Oh, the... Oh, why am I spacing on his name from the Lions?
Caldwell.
Yeah, Caldwell. I didn't think he should have been on the hot seat, but I felt like he was. And barring a total collapse, I think he's there. Like, I think he's probably solidified himself for a little while.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
I can't disagree with that.
Yeah.
Which coach in the NFC do you think... There wasn't any conversation about him, but now he is on the hot seat.
Should have been Jeff Fisher. What is happening? Why does he still get to keep his job?
It's like you just want to know, like, what's the appeal of Jeff Fisher? Like, yeah. What has he got in that locker room?
Like, how does he keep his job? But
there's a meteorologist going, I've been out of work for 6 months. Come on, Jeff Fisher.
I could coach the team better.
This is going to be a first down.
I guess it's Chip Kelly. Because, you know, first year, you figure he's probably got the longest leash of anyone because they don't expect him to turn it around immediately. Like, they don't expect him to pull a Harbaugh. He pulled a reverse Harbaugh.
Wow, I think that's going to go into the Oxford English Dictionary. Reverse Harbaugh.
Right beside it, Chip Kelly's face. He's the worst.
And like one of those like epic, like, you know, big white wig,
right,
photos of like presidents from the 1800s. For me, I think I'm going to have to agree. I mean, I don't think that any of us expected the Bears to be good, so I don't think that there was really going to be a big John Fox debate yet.
Right.
But it should have been Jeff Fisher after they went 500 and now looks like they're going to go 250.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and the only... Really, I think everyone else's job is pretty secure in the NFC. Like, no one... There will be a surprise. There always is. But no one is begging to lose their job, it seems like. Except Chip Kelly.
I mean,
he's auditioning for Oregon right
he's
now.
He's like, I'm not going back to Oregon, guys.
He's going to Bobby Petrino it. He's going to sign the contract tomorrow.
He's like, I'm not going back to Oregon. Like, where are you calling me from? This is an Oregon area code that you're calling me from. What was the post that was on? I don't know if it was on Twitter or Facebook that you shared. And it was like, hello? There's no answer. Ducky?
Come home. Yeah.
Yeah.
2017 Oregon Ducks.
I'm going to put the over-under on Chip Kelly being the Oregon coach next year at 35%.
That's probably pretty good spot.
Only
right
because
there.
I feel like he's going to try to stay in San Francisco unless they fire him.
Yes.
And because of the first year thing, and just like we talked about earlier, for some reason it just feels like they're not going to fire him.
Yeah.
Like, well, we went two games backwards, but I like what you're doing with the team.
Got some solid progress.
But, I mean, everybody in coaching ranks is wanting you, man. We got to... There must be some appeal there.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Well, that takes care of the NFC.
That's the NFC after week 13.
All right, we'll bring you the AFC after week 14. Or, yeah, 14. Do it next week. We'll do it. So see you guys next week.
Well, we won't really see you.
Well.
But you won't see us.
You can see us. You could, like, look at us on Twitter or something. But that's not us.
We could live cast it, but no.
Nah. We're good. No.
You know, I really haven't thought of an effective ending for this.
No.
Abrupt, maybe?
Yeah.
DangerouslyCreative.com